The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Look, I am going to send my messenger before you. He will prepare your way." A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare a way for the Lord, make his path straight." And so it was that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All Judea and all the people of Jerusalem made their way to him, and as they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, they confessed their sins. John wore a garment of camel skin, and he lived on locusts and wild honey. In the course of his preaching, he said, "Someone is following me, someone who is more powerful than I am, and I am not fit to kneel down and undo the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. I think from whichever perspective we look at it, the world, there is no doubt, needs change. We're all affected by events going on around us, be it the financial problems that are affecting most, if not all, economies around the world, cuts that led to the strikes this weekend and the protest yesterday to save our hospital, the tent camp set up to protest about bankers and that seems to slightly go off the news or run out of steam or its objective, the ongoing inquiry into the phone hacking, the media, and all the intrusion into people's lives, the unrest that continues in the Arab world that's moved from a spring to now the winter. And that can, of course, bode ill for the world, but also for Christian minorities in their own countries. The increasing secularization of the nations, and particularly the Western world and our own, and the way that that's going to operate then for people of faith. So many things that we can look at and can be worrying, and we feel powerless, and all those sort of things that we say. And we think, not necessarily it's something new, because of course it isn't. Some of the issues maybe, but they've all had foreshadowings elsewhere in the past. Such is life today. Such, in a way, was life when Mark was writing. What we begin to hear today and will follow for the rest of this year of Mark. And in his gospel, he paints with powerful strokes that picture of a distorted world, but into that distorted world, a prophet. A prophet who prepares a way, for that coming change. The one who can and will and does change all things. The charisma of the man across the years, they're echoing still the Baptist. Mark says the people flocked to him, all of Judea, the whole of Jerusalem flocked to him because they knew the world in their time too needed change. For them there was a struggle to be won, powers to be overcome, a wholesale reorganization required. I hesitate to use reorganization for any of in the civil service because it's what you faced too often, as we know. John clearly understands the struggle, but he acknowledges that he's not the one that can win. That's not John's task. John's task, which is why we get him at this point of Advent, is to prepare the way, the messenger who's going to announce what's going on. So the one who will indeed himself be strong enough to tackle the world and its powers head on. That person, of course, that we look forward to at Christmas, Jesus. And he it is that will change the world forever. And always remember, when we're going through all that we go through, that all the things oppressing us, wherever they may be, there is always an answer to a difficult question, and it is the one that John is sent to herald. It is Jesus who comes to bring life with God, reconciliation with God, and that has got to be good news. Almost as it were, turning the world the right way up. Often we feel it may be upside down, or we need to turn the world upside down, turning it round to the way to be with God. But when we're caught up in all that mess that's going on in the world, and it ever is, it's always been the same, whichever books of the Old Testament, not even just that, read back into history, these things are always going on, we look for some good news, and we have it. We have it in all the readings today. Introduced by Isaiah, writing to a people that in great distress, a people that are captive, they're in exile, they're away from their own country, their great center has been destroyed and the heart of the center, the temple, has been destroyed. They've no leader, there's no political power or clout or force. They, like us, often felt powerless. And yet the Lord says, console, console. Or a translation I prefer, and set so beautifully by Handel in his Messiah, comfort ye, my people. That was a great stroke of genius when Handel wrote the Messiah, that it begins with that, comfort ye, my people. Because that's what we all need when all that's going on around us, we just need those crumbs of comfort, some consolation. And that's what we're given on this Sunday of Advent. Comfort ye, my people. But in a way, it's not a time to just sit down and be closeted and comforted. The words are there, but then they're followed immediately by, but don't sit down and do nothing. It's prepare, get ready, hard work, filling in valleys, leveling mountains, ready for the Lord. And so it's comforting, cheerful news that we're given. We're here preparing for God. And last week, one of the great words was waiting, but waiting patiently, living holy and saintly lives. Indeed we are, but there's always that sense of movement too. Well, of course, we can't be unaffected by the movement because, as you all know, as the days go by, there's almost so much pressure on all of us in so many different ways to the 25th. And so it's that prepare, get ready, hard work for the coming of the Lord. And in all of the three readings and in the psalm, we get all that powerful stuff today, and it's very good that they're on our newsletter. Because I always urge you to take that home and maybe part of that consolation, that comfort, maybe part of our preparation will be to sit down when we get back. Take a few moments out of whatever business is going on and just reflect again on those readings. Reread them to strengthen faith, to see whatever is, God is not being slow to carry out his promises, wanting nobody to be lost. And so Peter gives us that lovely line that I think I referred to last week, 1,000 years are like a watch in the night to the Lord. And sort of we expect everything now and it will come in the Lord's time. A reminder again of that, but the Lord is still at work. And so John's call to penance, repentance, is for all time. That's why across the years it echoes. It wasn't just for the people of Jerusalem and Judea then. It's for us in 2011. That call to deal with sin and its effects is what's all those things pressing upon us. And that's what these days of Advent are given to us for. But indeed, throughout the year, comfort, consolation of a moment of grace in forgiveness and reconciliation. So Advent, even though we're in purple, is not Lent. It's a time of joy and hope and encouragement and comfort, because it's a wonderful season preparing for the great moments of God with his people.